And welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland sitting in today for Carl Gerke. And joining me now is Jan Sanderson, best known as the Rhubarb King. Jan, thanks for being with us today on Dakota Midday.
You bet.
So how do you get the title of Rhubarb King?
You grow a lot of rhubarb. And then I have my Hotmail address is Rhubarb King. I just did that as a joke and turned out I really was.
It kind of sticks, huh? So let's talk about rhubarb. When you say you grow a lot of rhubarb, how much is a lot?
I probably had as much as 10 acres, I supplied a lot of people with it, including some big wineries, and then the demand got too much. I couldn't really supply what everybody wanted without getting into migrant labor and big business. And so I scaled down a little bit, and I'm back to a couple acres now. So
that's a lot of rhubarb.
That's a lot of rhubarb, yeah.
So what all do you do with the rhubarb?
Well, I sell the roots and stuff to sale, like, you know, gurneys, catalogs that sell it to individual gardeners. I sell the rhubarb itself, the stalks, to mostly wineries, but we also grow strawberries here. And I originally put the rhubarb in to sell it along with the strawberries, so people come out to our place and buy it. And then the leaves, they can also, I haven't expanded into the leaves yet, but they make a real good organic insecticide when you boil them down. They're highly concentrated with oxalic acid, and it makes a good insecticide. So if I got that end of it, then I'd be using every little part of the rhubarb. But
every
I'm
little
getting
part.
Old and lazy.
Is it, and is each, I mean, are there different varieties, I guess, of a rhubarb, or are they all the same?
They're approximately 66 named varieties. With my own Sanderson Red, it'd be 67, but I haven't bothered patenting it, so I guess there's still 66.
66 and one secret weapon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, mine happens to be the best in on the planet right now, but only a few people know about it.
give me a little history of the rhubarb and how it came to South Dakota.
Okay, well, it's kind of interesting how I got started. Actually, my dad worked with Extension Service up at SDSU, and he drove by one of their experimental plantings, and they were plowing up a rhubarb patch, and he had a Volkswagen Beetle at the time and filled the trunk and the back seat and everything with rhubarb roots and came home and we plowed it in. And then many, many years later, when my brother and I decided to start Sanderson Gardens as a business, we dug up those plants that he had started and transplanted them. I think there was about 16 of them, and we cut them up and planted them into 400 hills of rhubarb, and then we found out that that was way more than we needed to sell along with the strawberries. So before I plowed them up and got rid of them, I decided I'd call Gurney's and see if they wanted any, and they said, well, what kind you got? And I said, well, it's Canada Red and Valentine. And the guy just about fainted. He said, holy buckets, that's exactly what we want. So I dug a bunch up and brought them down to him, and then found out that the whole world wanted them. So we started expanding and selling the roots, and then wineries came along. When we started, there were no local wineries around here, and now I supply several of the wineries in eastern South Dakota. I used to supply Prairie Berry out in the Black Hills, but I couldn't keep up with their demand. So now the rhubarb is a real popular fruit wine. I was just talking to Nancy Shady yesterday. We just brought them a load of 3,000 pounds of rhubarb for their most second most popular wine, she said, is the rhubarb strawberry.
3,000 pounds?
The rhubarb makes a good base. ice, and then they add a fruit like raspberry or strawberry or something to give it a little extra flavor and a little red tinge. People expect rhubarb wine to be red, but it really turns out to be a white wine, so they usually add something to give it some color.
And do you... How hardy is it? I mean, rhubarb's a difficult kind of plant to kill, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is hard to kill if you just got one or two plants in your yard and it's surrounded by grass and it's not surrounded by other plants. I mean, people tell me over and over, you can't kill the stuff. Don't start it. You can't get rid of it. But when you start putting it in a monoculture, like I grow it, like row after row after row in 4-foot centers, then you run into serious problems and you have to take precautions. But individuals that have just some here and there in their yards, to them it seems like you can't kill the stuff. But once you try to produce it commercially, then there's a whole another set of problems.
And so what's your favorite way to consume rhubarb?
I guess my favorite way is rhubarb, hot rhubarb custard crisp with vanilla ice cream on top.
Mm.
As a kid, my dad's philosophy, we had a big family, and his philosophy was find out what they don't like and give them all they want of it. So he'd let us eat rhubarb. We'd go out and put sugar in our hand, you know, and then dip it in and bite it. And you can eat it that way, but... It's a strong plant, you know. It's I haven't seen the breakdown of what's in it, but I think people are becoming more and more aware of some of these sideline plants that are becoming almost health foods, you know. So sooner or later, it'll find its rightful place, I'm sure.
I mean, how many big acres and acres of rhubarb are there?
Very few. Actually, the highest producing area in the country is the Oregon-Washington area, and they have an organization, a tight organization, and they won't sell it to anybody outside of the state because they want it all there. Michigan is the second biggest producer, and I don't know, Sanderson Gardens may be the third, I don't know. But it's technically not a big acre crop because there's not enough of it for chemical companies and stuff to label chemicals for it. So it's mostly hand labor, and it's very difficult to plant, and no one's figured out how to mechanically harvest it. So it's all handwork, so it has never become a big crop, and of course, people don't eat that much of it, so.
Well, and when you go out, you just go out with a knife? Is that?
Well,
I'm thinking backyard rhubarb,
it?
And so how do you harvest yours?
Well, when we harvest it, I get my crew together, and I have a tub boss, which happens to be my son, and everybody goes out with a 5-gallon pail and turns it upside down next to each crop. Each hill, we call it, and reach down towards the base and pull it up and pull 3 or 4 or as strong as you are, put them together and line the leaves up, and then twist the leaves off and put them in a pile next to the hill. And then you pick all of the stalks on that hill, or most of them anyway, and then you take the leaves and pile them back up over the hill. And then when the new rhubarb comes up, it pushes those leaves off, and it creates a mulch around the base of the plant that keeps the weeds down. And then we pay the kids so much per pound for picking. And once the tub's filled, tub boss, I got a full one. He comes and gets it and carries it to the trailer and gives them an empty tub, and you just keep going down the row.
And is this something that you have to harvest? I mean, all of it, or does it? You have some time, don't you?
Well, you could, with mature plants, crowns that are probably 3, 4, 5 years old. you can harvest it completely probably once or maybe twice if you have irrigation and good soil and you're a good grower. But basically, you just harvest it once on a commercial basis. For your home, you just go out and grab a few now and then, but you can tell when it's getting stressed by the stalks are starting to get thinner and they'll send out a leaf a little earlier. The first stalks are, might be 15, 20 inches long, and then if it gets under stress, it'll start putting a leaf out when it's 6 or 8 inches tall, and so you have to kind of be at one with the plant to recognize the stress and all that.
Well, I asked you what your favorite recipe is, and we have just about a minute left. What's your least favorite way to consume rhubarb?
Well, the least favorite way would be to eat the leaves. I used to kill cows in the 30s. It was one of the few plants that would survive around here that produced green leaves, and and cattle would eat the leaves and die. It makes the esophagus swell up, the oxalic acid, and then they can't breathe. So that would be my least favorite use of it.
Okay, but I mean, I remember being little and I'd get a cup of sugar. You can make a stalk of rhubarb go a long way if you just lick it and keep eating the sugar.
Yeah.
It's kind of my spoon.
I never bothered with a cup, but I just dumped it in my hand. But it's the same idea. It's people are the way I've expanded my varieties is gone out every spring. I advertise, and if anybody has any extra plants in their backyard, I dig them up or I thin them out, and then I bring them home and I plant them in my garden and mark them and then watch them. And every 3 years, I take out the ones that are the reddest color with the least seed stalks. Those seem to be the two qualities that most people look for in rhubarb. And then every 3 years, I keep selecting. And over the years, I've had it for, I guess, 29 years now.
Okay, Jan Sanderson, we are out of time, and I need to let you go. I want to thank you for taking time and being on Midday today.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.